Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday Women's Bible Study. And we're all four of us here tonight, but we're all in different places once again. We've got Robin in Elberton, Georgia. Hi, Robin.
Hey, Karen. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us.
And we've got Sister Ann out there at Grace Ranch in Texas. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Karen. Hi, everyone. Glad to be here tonight.
And we have Megan out in Lake Havasu, Arizona. Hi, Megan.
Hello, everyone.
And tonight we are in Romans 12, and I believe we're going to be starting at verse 9.
And if you could read verse 9, Karen.
Yes. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good.
So, one of the first things to note here is this love is agape. And that is that love of choice that God has commanded us to walk in. And so when we do it, you know, I mean, it in itself defines how one does it. So you can't love with the agape love of God and be a person that tears down or dissembles or, I guess one of the ways I look at it is you can't, what you do is sincere. And if it's sincere, then it, when you turn around and a person has left, it doesn't change. It's constant. You hate that which is evil and you cleave, you hold on to as tight as you can that which is good. And of course, we know that's Jesus. And the hope that we have in him, according to his word. And anything other than that, we hate, anything that isn't in agreement with that. And that's not people. it can be what people do, but it's anything that is not of God. We hate it and turn and by choice cleave to that which we know of him.
I know that a lot of people out there, when you say love, and I know we've talked about this so much, and that the love that is of God is agape love, and that is a love of choice. Unfortunately, most people take the word love as that emotional love, and that always gets us messed up. And we have to make a choice to love someone and stick to that choice, no matter how we feel.
That's a good distinction, because you can't love without dissimulation in the flesh, which is where that feeling or filial love dwells, because that is, you know, up and down and all around according to the moment. In our flesh, none of us had any stability in that kind of thing. In Christ, though, we do. And so that was a very good distinction. Karen or Megan?
Yeah, we can't love, you know, it. Well, it goes down. Later on, we talk about loving your enemies, and that's a very good example of it, because that your feelings are definitely not going to be involved. And it's easy to love someone, agape and philios, but it's harder when it's somebody that you don't love, you don't like, to love them, because then you're really making that choice to love that person.
And it's really a matter of doing what's right for the other person.
I don't know, maybe I'm off on this, but it was just this picture of Jesus being tormented there at the end. I don't really believe in his flesh, and he had flesh. that he loved them in the flesh, that he loved everybody to go through with what he did because of a choice.
Yes.
And you know, in that picture, you see something that we all ought to recognize, and that is he had an accountability before his Heavenly Father that outweighed anything else. And so when he, prior to going to the cross, when he knew what it meant, and when I say that, it's a sobering thing because I can know what it meant, but not like he knew what it meant. And yet, and it was a struggle for him, because it was the most horrible thing beyond what we can imagine. And yet, it was important. It was important for those who would be reconciled through his blood. It was important, and it was a decision, that was necessary. And it really is not any different for us, although the ramifications are certainly different in a way, but none of us are called to do what Jesus did, but we are called to walk in that same love he did, the love that ministers God's love, the very love that hung on that cross, that people might be saved. And it goes within the body because we all need that extension of love and that exhortation of in him. And like Karen spoke of what we're going to see as we go down in this chapter, that those that are without, that would do evil unto us, that the very Christ who saved us, because we took him at his word and accepted his salvation, died for everybody else too. We are absolutely no different in that sense. And it was the love of somebody who brought that love of Christ to each of us and has continued to bring it in the body to each of us, more than just one in the body. But we benefit from it, and we wouldn't be here if we hadn't had it. Not one of us could have stood separate from and alone in Christ without the help and love and, you know, patience and mercy and grace and all of the things that are extended to us first from our Heavenly Father that is just there that we receive by grace, but then is supported by the brethren. So if anybody... Nobody has anything further. Megan, if you would read 10.
Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another.
This verse is really talking about the fact that we have a new family in Christ Jesus. And in the same way we have an affection for our natural family, we're to have that same affection, because now our natural family is that is washed in his blood, not the blood that came down through our parents, so to speak. And so we're to be kindly affectioned one to another as a brother or as a sister, as a sibling in Christ Jesus. And that honor, preferring one another, I mean, our preference is our brethren in Christ now. That's our family, and that's our preference. And we value one another more.
This is one of those places where I find it interesting that the Lord tells us to have a filios type of affection with somebody. To enjoy the fact that we have brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we can share in him, you know?
You know, to me, when you say that, we all have a natural affection for family members. We all have natural affections that way. And to me, it is saying that same affection now turns to our new family. Anne, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
In that context, it makes perfect sense because we care about them. We want to know what's happening. We hate it when things aren't going right. We, you know, want to help them out. All the things we're going to read about here. When they fall, we don't get hung up about it and want to kick them out of the family, so to speak. And likewise, they do the same to us. If they have a need, we want to help supply it. You know, you just have that natural desire to the benefit of another, and that's what really we're going to be reading about, where we have that same, make that same choice, and do the same things that we would do to those who we would in a natural way.
Yep, that's a good point.
So, Karen, I guess we'll just go through each scripture, unless it seems like that is laborious. You like that word? So, Karen, if you do 11.
Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord.
Okay, well, the first one, you know, not slothful, not lazy, not putting things off. And that's a good reminder because I can do that. I can be guilty of this. Fervent in spirit. You know, that's an interesting one because it doesn't speak of fervent in the flesh here, though that which is done in the spirit is manifest in the flesh. But to be fervent in spirit, you'd be fervent in prayer and just stuff like that. You're mindful of the things of Christ in a fervent, diligent manner, is how I would describe it. Serving the Lord. You know, once again, how do you serve the Lord? Well, you pray for one another. If somebody comes to your mind, you pray for them. You lift them up. If you see that they're struggling, you don't judge them. You pray for them. You might judge the thing. And one of the things the body does to one another is we push each other in the right direction. Sometimes that can be unpleasant because we might have to say things to one another, but we don't say them in judgment. We say them for the benefit of the other. And we keep them in prayer. And we know the same God that is able to deliver us and bring us through is the very same God at work in them. And so we support one another in things. And by so doing, we serve the Lord. Does anybody want to say anything further on 11?
Yeah, when it says there, excuse me, not slothful in business, that's both as, say, the employer or the boss or the master, and as the one who is working for somebody. It doesn't distinguish, but to not be slothful in whatever it is that you do.
Yes, and it goes beyond like having to go and work for somebody. I mean, because we also have business that we attend to.
Yeah.
And to give it our all and do our best in it.
And I could say that being fervent in spirit and serving the Lord, kind of, to me, they go together. Being fervent in spirit and serving the Lord. And when you're serving the Lord, you get a great joy out of it. There's nothing like it. You know, when you're serving the Lord, you're just joyful in it. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's not a feeling necessarily, but joy is indescribable for me. But it's a wonderful thing.
It does remind me, Karen, and I know that you have many experiences in this, but when you helped Carrie and Steve in the scanning of hard to scan docs, for hours on end, and the joy you got out of that was a distinct testimony that was spoken of by more than just you.
Yes.
But, you know, it's not the only testimony that you have.
Yes. It is it was just a wonderful, and I'll always remember that.
That's cool. So, Megan, do you want to read verse 12 there?
Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer.
I guess I particularly like this verse because the hope we have in Christ is so enormous and so great that it is something to rejoice in. And it is that same hope that each of us have had born in us that we also then have for others. And it's a great, great thing. It transcends us frail, sorry, fleshy people. That gives us, just is what our hope is Him. And it's a great rejoicing because in that we truly have a hope that will be, bear the fruit that Christ has promised. Being patient in tribulation, both personally, we each go through trials and tribulations, but I know it's also something that we can be patient in when others go through them. And sometimes we just see it. Sometimes we actually are affected by the length of time somebody takes, say, to get beyond a point or see something or whatever it is. And yet, that very patience that we have to extend to ourselves when we go through struggles or times of difficulty, we can extend to others. And they don't necessarily know it, but there's a patience that we need to have both personally and towards our brothers and sisters in Him. And then being continuing instant in prayer would be the perfect way for us to be patient in tribulation. We have an advocate in the Father. We have somebody we can take things to. We have somebody who's there to help. And it's to be done. I mean, that's the choice that we're to do and do it quickly, instantly. Knowing that He's there, He's at hand.
I was just going to say that, Robin. It reminds me of Philippians where it says the Lord is at hand. I don't remember exactly which chapter it is, but it's in Philippians, probably 1 or 2.
All of these things are a mindset where we choose to keep our minds stayed upon Him. And in that place, we can do all things through Him. Which strengtheneth us, which is also Philippians. These are those things that we do because we are accepted in Him and our dwelling place is in Him and in His body. And even as each of us want to walk around in a healthy body while we're walking on this earth, so we want to in Him so that His body has that same health and wholeness that is the one that we partake of here on this earth and can walk around and minister through.
Yep, that was in Philippians 4, not 1 or 2, so I'm correcting myself.
That's good for anybody that wants to go look. It'll be good that you've narrowed the field.
The whole chapter, actually the whole book, is really good.
And it's a small book, so one can read it, right?
Right.
Kieran, verse 13.
That is Philippians 4, verse 5. For anybody
else,
no.
Yes. 4, verse 5. 13 is distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality.
This is pretty obvious. Not that any of them haven't been. If a brother or sister has a need and you can supply it, do so. You know, be mindful of that, and because some lack and others have plenty. It's not that we're supposed to be socialists, but you wouldn't want to see somebody going without when you could easily make them whole. And given the hospitality, that's, you know, where people are welcome and you enjoy with great pleasure, really, not as a burden, but as a joy to be able to serve them coffee or tea or water or a place to sit, fellowship, food, whatever, a bed that you enjoy and are willing when the opportunity arises to do such things.
Another source of joy also.
Yes. All of these should be, shouldn't they?
Yes, they actually are.
When your eyes are on the Lord and you're serving Him and fervent in spirit in Him, then there is a joy when you do these things. Because you're doing it as unto Him and not as unto man.
You don't begrudge it and you don't do it for some kind of recompense. So, Megan, Ann, I'm taking it you didn't want to add anything there?
No, y'all.
Okay. Verse 14.
Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not.
Okay, well, this is now kind of turning the corner. Bless them that
persecute. This is a hard one.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. First of all, I want to say if you curse a person, in a sense, you're acting as though you're God and you're bringing the judgment down on them. Well, is that really what you would want? I mean, is there anybody you would really like to see burning forever in hell fire? You know, I mean, I don't think we would want such a thing to anybody, and we might feel something at times, but to really know that that was the end, and especially to know that we could have had a part to have maybe turned that to a different end. I mean, what can anybody do to us that really can hurt us? They can't do anything to us. They can make us sad and under distress and stuff like that, but nobody has any power to do any harm to us because we're His. And we're in a position to bless them and not desire damnation, the very thing that we have partaken of ourselves. So, you know, I mean, and the other thing is a lot of times people persecute without knowing the truth, so they don't even know what they're doing. But it is a small thing to bless those who persecute you and curse them not.
And to me, it's important to remember that people a lot of times don't know what they're doing when they're persecuting you. And I remember back to before I came to the Lord, I'm sure I was like that, you know, and didn't have a clue what I was doing. But the Lord still had mercy on me, and here I am.
I will say, Karen, I don't think, I've never really thought about it from that vantage point, but I'm sure that the same is true, absolutely true of me. And certainly, I don't think any of us could say we have not done harm to another in our lives. So we've been forgiven and been forgiven by each other. So I guess it reminds me too, that, you know, God is merciful to us as we are merciful to others.
You know, one way that shows too, is, and I'm not in my vocabulary normally. Hold on just a second. Excuse me. When someone says, God damn, what you're doing is you're asking God to condemn them. You're asking God to damn them. You're asking God to send him to hell. And how many times have those words left people's mouths and they don't even realize what they're saying? They are cursing someone. And we're told not to do that.
My father used to say that. I'd say, Dad, is that really what you want? It didn't seem to stop him, but that was my response. Is that really what you want, Dad? For God to damn something, you know? Or damn someone, you put it in the context of a person, you know? But yeah, that's a very common thing that people can say.
You hear it all the time. You know, you go out just in the store. I mean, I hear it in Walmart all the time. And they don't know what they're saying. They don't know they're actually cursing that person.
I hear you. It's a good point. So, whoever is supposed to read, Karen, 15.
Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep.
So here's where, you know, one thing about rejoicing with them that do rejoice, oftentimes because of envy, we don't. I know I have seen, and, you know, I'm not going to talk about where I've done the wrong side because it's not something I really can think of at the moment, not saying I didn't, but I've seen times when envy has caused people to hate the rejoicing of another. And rather than rejoice with them, one of the things about rejoicing with another is the very same God that blesses them wants to bless you and me. And so if there's something, one, it's their turn to be blessed. Praise God. We get blessings all the time ourselves. Why begrudge another the same? But the other thing is if their blessing is due to a faithfulness on their part, let us do likewise if we aren't already doing it. Weep with them that weep. You know, if somebody's in a bad place and is in sorrow, can't you have empathy for them? For the place they are at? I mean, all of us have experienced such a thing. It's not like it's unknown territory. We can have compassion and empathy with them. Not to support them never coming out of it, but just because there's a time when a person, we go through sorrow. And kind of like putting your arm around them and letting them know that you care. And that you're sad that they're sad, you know? I don't know if you guys had anything to say. If not, Megan can read 16.
That 15 is a verse that I think of periodically and periodically mention to my children because, as you said, it's some sort of envy or jealousy type things. There are other motives, I'm sure, but certainly envy is a big one that means that when somebody else is rejoicing in something, you don't want to rejoice with them because for some reason, either you think you're losing out or you think they shouldn't be getting what they're getting. And that's not, you know, that's not a good place for us to be. It's a good verse to be reminded of and to go back to, especially when those situations arise and you find yourself to be there. Remember that you don't have to stay there.
Amen.
Verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits.
Okay. So, here's where we view each other and treat each other on an equal plane. And we do that one to another. We are all of, in this body together. We all have a part in it. We all have an important part in it. And, we have that mind one to another. We value one another. Well, just that simple. Minding not high things, you know, there's so many things that we naturally give place to or give precedence to. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. But, you know, that the very things, because in a way, the way I put it is we all kind of have our prejudices, maybe. And I don't mean prejudiced against a color or a race or the kind that we normally think of prejudices. But we have some things that we value more highly and people naturally that we would value more highly. And we're not to... It's not a lack of respect for our elders. It's not a lack of respect for God's line of authority, but we're to treat each other, whoever they are, whatever place they find them, and however contrary it may be to our own natural self, as equals and as important. And one of the aspects when it goes in there and it says, be not wise in your own conceits, is how often I know that my own thoughts, my own ways can seem far more intelligent, right, and worthy of expression than another person's. And to give full place to one another, to speak, to listen to them, that's not being wise in your own conceit. When you can't do that is when you are being wise in your own conceits. Anne or Karen or Megan?
There's a question in the chat. Isn't envy also something that is linked to pride? I mean, Lucifer fell because he thought himself equal to God. Is that a form of envy?
I would say so. I mean, yes. I guess I don't have the chat visible here. There you go. Yes. One would have to say that envy, as you had said, I think, Megan, is kind of the supposition that the other person doesn't deserve it or you deserve it too. And that was a good point I thought you made, because oftentimes we don't want to see somebody blessed. And rather we should look for people to be blessed. We should pray for it. We should, when we see them with desires and hopes, we should want them to receive it from God, not begrudge them when they do.
I know I've been on both sides of that. I know I've been on the receiving side of people begrudging me getting something good. But sad to say, I know I too have been on the side of begrudging others getting something good from the Lord. And it's a natural thing. You got to put it off and you got to choose to rejoice with those that rejoice.
I think every one of us struggles with that. I mean, I know every one of us does. And one of the wonderful things about the Lord and that hope that we have in him is he can help to get it shaken down and set right. But we got to want it. We got to want it. And the choice oftentimes is the simple choice just to not do something. But the end in making that choice is that it comes to pass that we actually don't. But there's struggles along the way. But if we know that we're not to do something because it's wrong, kind of goes back to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And so we do that. As you said, we choose, then that choice is going to bear fruit where it bears a fruit in us. And just in hearing this, it reminds me of that testimony of Corrie ten Boom's when the prison guard had asked her forgiveness, not knowing she recognized him, and she couldn't forgive him. I know this isn't envy or anything, but it's the way the Lord works. And she nevertheless stuck out her hand, and as soon as she did that simple choice, that act, in accordance with what she knew, though everything about her and in her was in, was contrary, not there yet, I'd like to say. But as soon as she did, the love of God came through. And that's part of that hope we have. If we'll but obey him and do what he says, he's there in the midst of it. And it's right. We're blessed in that then. But we can't even have that blessing if we're not going to make that choice.
In this whole series of verses that we're going through, are all choices that we make, and they're commandments, and they're things that we need to choose. Each and every one of these things, that is what we need to choose to do. And they are commandments.
I'm reminded.
Go ahead.
Of Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So he doesn't only give you the way to do it, but if you want to actually do what is right, he will give you the will to do it. He will give you the want to do it, as well as the how to do it. And that's something that we've kind of been talking about here is, you know, if you want to do that which is right, to rejoice with them that rejoice, for instance, etc. The Lord gives us even the desire to do it, if that's what we, if we're after doing what is the right thing in him and what is pleasing to him, he will give us everything we need.
Amen. And then we have to choose to do it.
Yes, you're right, Karen. That which we know, we have an accountability to do. That which we don't know, he'll show us. But he is there in the midst of it. And I, personally, I would say that when you have any experience in choosing the Lord, and let's say in times where it's very contrary to you, the blessing of having done so is one of those things that makes you know the truth and want to partake of it more and more. I hope that made sense. So, Karen, I've got it down. Karen's reading odd verses, so she's on 17.
Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men.
Okay, so somebody does evil to you, you don't pay them back, right? You do what's right. You're led of the Lord. You do what he says. What another person does is what another person does. And you do provide things honest in the sight of all men. It's not like you are, everything is in hiding and behind the scenes. It's out in the open. And it's honest. It's true. It's not deceitful or not really what you're doing. It's that which you do is what you do. And there's no underlying background behind the scenes stuff that would be different than the face that you show, so to speak. Anne or anybody?
That's a pretty clear one.
Yes, I agree. Megan, 18.
If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men.
So this is, you know, I mean, we don't go around trying to create fights and difficulties and contentions. But what, within what we have control over, as much as lieth in me, what I have a say over, what I can do or not do, live peaceably. Make choices that are peaceable, not contentious with people. It's part of that is just a matter of simple communication where you communicate with another person. And this is really talking about people outside of the body, but it's certainly also talking about our own relationships, because it can be a struggle at times. We're just people and we can struggle, but you know, it takes one person not to join in something that is contentious and problematic to dissolve the difficulty. And we can be those people, or when we can be them, let us be them. We don't go out and seek to stir up trouble and cause anger when we don't have to. So, 19, Karen.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Okay, one thing I think is noteworthy here is the very beginning. He says to the Romans, who he is personally writing this epistle to, but to all who believe, dearly beloved. They're beloved by Paul. They're accepted in Christ. They're accepted in the beloved. He is actually doing exactly what he's writing about here. Don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Let it go. And then he gives testimony, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. I looked that up. It's in Deuteronomy. It is, I believe, Deuteronomy 32:35. But the thing is we have a heavenly Father. We are his. He looks out for us. He's got our back. We can trust him to take care of us. And if there's something that needs to be done, he'll take care of it in his time. So, you know, you can be set free from wanting to have revenge. You can be set free from the kind of anger that provokes that. Because guess what? God knows. And God isn't unaware, and he'll take care of it.
I think for me, one of the best biblical examples of this is David. You don't see him taking the position of, you know, standing against those who have come against him. He goes to the Lord in it, and he, instead of going, say, against Saul, he recognized that the Lord had anointed Saul, therefore he wasn't going to touch him. He got near enough to him to make a point, but he never touched him, never harmed him in any way. You see it with Joab, who seems to have his own agenda in a lot of things. He doesn't deal with him. You see it with the judgment the Lord brings on him after Bathsheba. He yields to it, including instead of coming against his own son, he just leaves the entire town so that he, whatever the Lord has to deal with, you know, it can get done.
Yes, and, you know, another example that's slightly off about, well, no, that isn't a good example of this, so I won't even say it, excuse me. But yes, I mean, you can see that the Lord took care of David, and David, the one time we know he went in vengeance was when Abigail met him. And it's a beautiful story.
Yes.
When he went to kill Nabal, and all of the men, all those who pisseth upon the wall, I think so, any of the men in that household, and Abigail interceded, and David heard her. And that's the only time I can think of when David was doing something of his own accord, and the Lord in his greatness stopped him. And in the process of that, of course, many were spared. So that's a praise God. But and the Lord took care of Nabal. You see that too, because it wasn't long after that that Nabal died. So the Lord is mindful. And if we can trust him and actually really believe him, that he knows best, then we can rest in that. So So, Miss Megan, you are up on verse 20.
Karen, read this one. I'm trying to get my mic set up. My headphones are beeping.
Yes, she can.
I can. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head.
Go ahead and read the last verse, too.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Therefore, so kind of like the conclusion, if your enemy is hungry, give him something to eat. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. I mean, the exact opposite of what the world does and what our natural man wants to do and what our enemy would ever expect. Maybe that which turns him unto salvation. And then the conclusion of this discourse is, don't be overcome of evil, but rather overcome evil with good. So see, we have the upper hand if we will take it. We have the overcoming, both for ourselves and possibly for others.
Reminds me of light overcoming darkness. Light can overtake darkness, but darkness can never overtake light.
Good point, Karen.
It's a good example, Karen.
Well, unless Miss Megan has her mic set up, does anyone have anything to say before we say goodnight?
It is set up, but I don't have anything to add.
Well, we go into chapter 13 next week, which is an important chapter, one that probably everybody that joins us is familiar with, but one that we need to really have settled within us each individually to be able to press on rightly in Christ Jesus as his servants. So I hope, one, that we won't have any internet problems next week.
Amen and to that.
Two, that you all will be joining us again. And in the meantime, may the Lord bless you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Good night, all.
Good night.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.